Open with me to Mark chapter 4. I gave the guys a list of verses up there, and that's not, or Mark chapter 5, I'm sorry. I gave them a list of verses, and this isn't on it, but it's okay. Mark chapter 5. It's right after Mark chapter 4. And we'll read starting in verse 24. Mark chapter 5, there's three miracles that happen that Jesus heals. Three people who are beyond the ability for anyone else to help them. That's the point, right? One guy is demon possessed in the beginning. The first story, he's demon possessed. And it says that many times they tried to bind him with chains and he just broke the chains. They tried to, you know, they did an intervention. They tried to counsel him and he flipped the table over and ran out, right? He, like, not helped and could not be helped. Second story is about a young girl who had died. And that is the limit. We can do a lot nowadays for people, but once they die, there's very little that you can do. And then there's this woman that we want to speak about tonight, and she had a problem. She was sick, and it had been 12 years that she had been sick, and she had spent every dime that she had with every physician she could find, and she was no better, maybe worse. So let's read. Verse 24, Jesus is on his way to meet this young girl. Yeah, he would go and he would raise her from the dead, but on his way, with a great multitude following him, now verse 24, out of nowhere, a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. But when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. That verse, right? When she heard about Jesus, she came to him. She came behind him in the crowd. What had she heard about Jesus? Maybe she had heard the stories of how he had healed people. There's a story in Mark chapter 2. A couple chapters before where three friends brought a guy who was sick, says he had the palsy, right? He was sick and they couldn't get into the house where Jesus was. So what do? Up to the roof. They went up to the roof and they made their way through the roof. And, my parents were telling me at the Bible Museum, they have, like a diagram of what a roof was like in those days. And how many people, when you picture this story, you picture like some palm leaves or something? You just kind of like throw it out of the way and dive in. Well, apparently it was more than that. It would take some work to make your way through this roof, right? Like there is a tiling and then there is a framing and there is some sort of insulation and then there is some sort of finish, right? So they're making their way through the roof. And I love that story, but anyway, they get through, they get the hole big enough and they fold the guy in half and they like pop him through and then they lower him down right in front of Jesus. And Jesus is like just overjoyed, isn't he? He's like, these guys are the real deal. He's looking out the window. He's like, you guys, nice try, but those guys, man, what faith. He commends the faith of the guys who put their friend through the roof. Maybe she heard that story. You know, if in her condition, she wouldn't have gone into a crowd of people because she was unclean and anyone she touched would be unclean. So maybe she heard about Christ and maybe she was at a distance from the house just kind of observing. Maybe she looked up on the roof and wondered, what are those guys doing? And then watching this guy walk out of the house holding onto his bed. Isn't that a great picture? What are you limited by? What are you laying on? Through Christ you have the authority of it. over it, and you can walk out with it. So the woman says, wait a second. I just saw them drag him up on the roof. They hit his head on every rung of the ladder on the way up. I just saw them carry him up there. Now he's walking out, and there's life in him. He doesn't look like death anymore. What? Who is this guy? It's Jesus. Somebody from across the street. It's Jesus. Stay over there. I'll tell you what's going on. It's Jesus. So she heard it, and then she hears about him being around. She hears that he's there, and she makes a decision that she would come to him. And in coming to him, she doesn't know what she'll do. What do you do when you come to God? What do you do? Hello? Like, what do you bring? What do you offer? What do I have? Maybe that kept her back for some time, thinking, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to give him. I don't even know how to ask. Do I need to speak a certain way? How do I address him? You know, what do I say? Like, isn't there a story that when the Kennedys went to England and they visited the Queen, and they didn't know the decorum? Like, they didn't know what to call who. Maybe I'm thinking of, but there's a story in American history where some president went to England and they messed it up. Right? Who to call what? What's a duke? What's a duchess? Like, what's this? I don't even know. How's it going, buddy? Right, they said. Right? And they messed up the whole thing. Right? They messed up. What do I do when I approach God? How do I speak? What's my attitude? How do I carry myself? Do I need to be on my knees? Do I need to hang my head low? What do I do? But this woman said, you know what? For 12 years I've been trying everything, every posture, everything. I've had enough. You know what? I'm just going to go. And when I get there, I'll just touch him. I don't know. I'll just touch his clothes and see what happens. But she came to him. And it says she did exactly that. She touched his garment, because if I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. I think he can do what I can't. I think he can do what all these physicians can't. I think he can do what money cannot buy, I believe. So I'm going to go. I'm just going to go to Jesus. Immediately, verse 29, immediately. Isn't that how God works? Immediately. And you could say, well, I've had some prayers and they haven't exactly been immediately answered. Well, how about immediately in terms of eternity? Right? In terms of eternity, it's always immediate. God is working in that way, and he is working in his way. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Right, healed of the affliction. Gone. She knew it. She felt it. She reached out by faith. Reached out by faith, which isn't substance, right? It's faith. It's not a tangible thing. But when she reached out in faith, she physically felt healed. She did. She was physically, like, something that was visibly and physically wrong with her was affected by her reaching out in faith. And she knew it immediately. And you know who else did? Jesus did. Huh? Oh, is Jesus paying attention? She could think maybe she's going to sneak up on him. Right? And can you picture Jesus in this story? Like, he's walking and he knows, and he's like, come on. Come on, right? Like, without looking at, come on, like rooting her on, encouraging her in faith. I don't know. I'm just thinking, right? And then she touches him and he says it. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Who touched my clothes? We could think, what does that matter? And like we've said before, his disciples are saying to him, you are in a crowd of people. Everybody is pushing you. This girl is dead on the other, or she is dying on the other side of town. We're trying to get there. People are dragging you, pulling you, pushing you. Everybody's touching you. A couple of these people we're a little concerned about. We think they're a little weird, right? We don't know why they keep coming around. We're keeping an eye on them. What do you mean? Everybody's touching you. Everybody's bumping into you. And he said, no, no, no. Somebody touched me by faith. His disciples said, you see the multitude thronging you and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. She didn't have time to run away. She didn't have space to escape, but also she is in awe that a miracle has just happened to her. She's just been healed. Like that song, what did we sing? In your presence, Lord? Did we just sing that? Right? In his presence. What happens in his presence? We could be overwhelmed. We could be like the din of the earth or the noise of the earth could be like moving away. And like it's kind of the noise is turned down when we're in the presence of God. And we say, oh Lord, we have fellowship with God. It changes things. Time doesn't matter so much. Chaos could be happening around me, but there I am in the presence of God. Right? And she is that way. She's just staring at Jesus, knowing she's been healed. And she was afraid, trembling, trying to come up with a reason or excuse. Or maybe she would say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. Now you're unclean, I'm unclean, but actually I think I'm clean, actually I think I'm healed, right? I don't know what to do. And he just says, he alleviates all the pressure, and he says to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. That's it. How did this happen? As she came to Jesus. That's it. That was it. We have a saying in our language, right? A come to Jesus moment. Like that's a good moment to be in. Luke chapter 15, the younger brother was in the pig food. He's in the pig pen and he's thinking, man, these pigs are eating well. Imagine that. Looking at pig food and thinking, man, that's an upgrade from what I have. And then he says he came to himself. Oh, I know a better place. And I might have the wrong concept of my place there, but I know a place. I think I'll go. And he goes to his father's house and his father is there waiting for him. Right? When we finally build up the nerve or the courage to come to Jesus, we always have a concept of what the reception will be like. Like the older son, he said, he's practicing his speech. He says, just make me a servant. I know I've lost my heir, my inheritance. I know I've lost all that, but hey, can I work? And the father says, dismisses the whole thing, interrupts the speech and just says, get in here. Get the ring, get the shoes, get the coat, and get the big old, the chubby little calf. We're going to have some veal parmesan tonight, right? Like it is a celebration because he was dead, but now he's alive. This woman also building up the courage and the confidence to come to Jesus and not knowing what the result would be and being a little scared when he turned to look at her. But what does she find? Daughter. Wow. What an intimate initiation from the Savior. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. There is nothing lacking in you. There is no deficiency in you. There is nothing impure. You are whole, complete. Go. You're free. You have freedom. Don't even think about it. Don't allow that to be the managing thing in your life, where you have to consider your problem every step you take. But instead, consider me. Consider what I've done. Consider how I've spoken to you. Consider how I received you when you came to me. That's a whole new thing. So whatever state we were in, I mean, here we are on a Wednesday night. Right? Obviously, we've met Jesus. We've met him. Or we're hoping to, right? We're hoping to meet Jesus, the young guys here. Huh? You know Jesus, right? Yeah, we do. You do, but I want to know him more, right? That's why I'm here. That's why I dig into this Bible. That's why I love the ministries, because I want to meet Jesus in it. That's it. Pastor Manny, when we were in South Africa, we had a wild team in South Africa. It was eight of us lived in this little apartment. It was amazing. And then in that apartment, we would have church. I slept on the balcony out in the open air, 10th story. It was amazing. But we were giving everyone a hard time. Like, God bless Molly. Molly was the only woman in the house, and we drove her absolutely nuts, right? Absolutely nuts. So Pastor Manny pulled us all together one night, and he's like, guys, knock it off. Like, come on, right? Take it easy. And then he said, what is the purpose of what we're here? And we said, to give Molly a hard time, right? That's what we're doing. And he said, okay, I'm glad we had him. Oh, yeah. And he said, okay, we need to recalibrate. What are we doing here? He said, well, I am here to get to know Jesus. And he was our pastor. He was our leader, right? I am here to get to know Jesus. That's what we're doing. And as we meet Jesus, we will introduce people to Jesus, right? That's it. This is our hope, right? And as we grow and as we mature in the faith, we find out, oh my gosh, I need to come to Jesus. Okay, so this woman is healed and she's sent back into her life. Can you imagine it was different? Yeah. It was different. She didn't have to announce her problem. She didn't have to be concerned with herself. But now she was concerned with one who had healed her. And when people asked her, how are you doing? She had a whole different answer. How's that thing? It's gone. I'm healed. How did that work? I thought all the physicians, no, the physicians couldn't do it. The money couldn't buy it. But one guy did. His name is Jesus, right? Jesus did it. He healed me. How did you meet him? How did that come about that you were able to be with Jesus? She said, I don't know. I just came to him. I heard he was around, so I just went there. I came to Jesus. How could you have the confidence to go to Jesus? I was terrified. But when he spoke to me, I was comforted. When he touched me, I knew that I was safe. I knew that I was loved. I knew that he cared for me, the shepherd. So turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Okay, we'll go back to verse 14. Hebrews 4, 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We have a high priest who is not limited. We have a high priest that has passed through the heavens, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. With all power, all authority, and all things have been given unto him. There's no higher place, there's no greater power, and he is there. He is our high priest. And it says in verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but instead was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So we don't have a high priest who looks at us and says, what's wrong with you? Get up. Huh? Like, you know, someone is going through a problem that you have no idea of and that you cannot relate to, and you could look at it kind of coldly and say, well, just get up. Right? Like, just, well, don't do that. Someone's struggling with something, we say, it's easy, just don't do it. And they're like, oh, thank you so much for the sympathy. All right? I've been trying not to do it for 12 years and I keep doing it. Right? But Jesus, as our high priest, is able to sympathize with our weakness because he came down here, walked in the dust, and he felt the weight, he felt the pressure of it all. Yet, he was without sin. Perfect. Every temptation and more was on him. Read Matthew chapter 4, where the devil tempted him repeatedly. He offered him the kingdoms of the entire world. In a moment, he showed him the kingdoms of the entire world, and he said, it's all yours, just bow down and worship me. You can have it all. The temptation that he felt. The pressure that was on Jesus, you see the demonic activity in the Gospels, it is more than any other place. Why? Because the devil is anti-Christ, and when he is walking on the world, every demon is flocking his way. He knows the pressure we face. Yet, he's without sin. He didn't buckle for a second. No weakness, but also feeling it. So when he looks at us, he says, I understand. I understand, yes, but I have overcome. And because I have overcome and because I have not sinned, you have a place to go. You have a place to go. Therefore, in verse 16, let us therefore, knowing this, knowing that he has overcome, knowing that he has lived without falling to sin, gives me a place to go. Right. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah. It doesn't say come running to the throne of negotiation that you might find a loan. Right? Doesn't say come to the throne of penalty and find deferment. No, come running to the throne of grace and come running boldly. How can we come boldly? Because the door has been, the way has been prepared. Because the road is maintained. Because there is a highway that he has opened to us through his resurrection. And he says, this is the way. Come on. And every obstacle has been removed from the road by his effective work. And he says, come. Come. Come boldly. There is this, in the Old Testament, there is these cities of refuge. The nation of Israel, there's three on either side of the Jordan River, so there's six cities of refuge. So at any point, wherever you are in the nation of Israel, if something goes wrong, you could in one day be at a city of refuge. But all of these cities were connected to roads. And there were people whose job it was to maintain these roads. So that as you were running for your life, where you knew and you could have confidence that that road was maintained and the way was open so you could make it to refuge. Christ has established for us a place to go. He's given us a refuge. David says it throughout the Psalms. You are my refuge, my salvation. But also the road has been prepared and maintained by him. And he says, come unto me. We say, but the road could be treacherous. He says, no, trust me. I made the way. He said, but there's a mountain. I can plow right through that mountain. Just keep going. Come unto me. We say, yeah, but I don't have any means to come. And he says in Isaiah 55, come. If you don't have money, come. Buy with no money. You don't have anything to offer me, come and receive freely. This is the call that is to the church. It is to us as we are lost, but then once we are saved, it is the continual call. This verse, Hebrews 4:16, you could say it this way, be coming. Be coming. Come once, but then continue to come to him. In your life, come to Jesus. You say, but I feel the weight of my sin. I feel that I can't do it. I feel some uncleanness in me, some inadequacy in me. Exactly, then come. And come and receive freely what you cannot provide for yourself. Revelation 22 verse 17, it says the Spirit and the Bride say, come. It's the last thing that's in the Bible. The last message of the Bible is that, right? Like, yeah, we've said all of this stuff. We've taken 66 books to say all of this stuff, but I can summarize it in this. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Come. Be coming to Jesus. Right? Come to Jesus. Be saved. Be redeemed. Receive the gift of eternal life. And then in that eternal life, continue to come to Jesus. Right? When you trip and fall, come to Jesus. Every step you take, make it in the direction of Jesus. He is there and he is ready to receive you. It says come boldly too. Boldness is an amazing thing. Have you ever had it? Have you ever felt boldness where you have, like, you know something is right and you stand for what is right and you don't care, right? Hey, no, right? Boldness. It's good. We need it, right? We need boldness in this world. It comes from knowing, right? I can be bold in what I know is true. If I don't have confidence in it, I'm a little sheepish. Like trying to sell something to someone that sells something that I don't believe in myself. I'm not bold. I'm just a liar. But when I have something that I believe in, something that I know, the better I know it, the more bold I am with it. So I come running boldly to the throne of grace because I know Jesus. I know his heart towards me. I know his attitude towards me. I have listened to the words that he has said to me. I have seen how he has touched other people. I have seen his response to other people, right? Like this woman said, I don't know, of course we're making it up. I saw that guy in Mark chapter 2 walk out of that house. Maybe he could heal me too. She knew something about Jesus, and based on what she knew about Jesus, she just went. Say, okay, this is my last ditch out. I'm just going to go to Jesus. So we keep coming to Jesus. And we come boldly. Christ didn't die on the cross for us so that we would be timid around him. He died on the cross for us so that we would know for certain that we have access to him. That we would know 100% without a doubt that he loves us, that he cares for us, and he would stop at nothing to show us how much he loves us. What greater expression could there be than Christ would go to the cross for us? Greater love has no man than that he would lay down his life for his friends. The greatest expression, he loved us. How do we know the love of God? Romans 5:8. It is manifest to us in that he came down, he condescended to where we are, and he put his love next to us where we are. Is that 8:5? Romans 8:5. 8:5. That's what it means. He sent his love to us while we were yet sinners, and he died for the ungodly. What a beautiful picture. Right? You say, Lord, how can I prove my love for you? And he says, no, please don't. Please don't try. I don't need you to prove your love for me. I need you to believe that I have proved my love for you beyond any doubt. And as you receive my love, you will be emboldened to approach my throne of grace. And we could say that that is the conclusion that Christ wants to lead us to, that we would have boldness to run to him. And that we would trust the road that he has prepared for us. And that we would travel it frequently. Frequently, right? Wear out a trail on this road to the throne of grace. Know it well. Be familiar with it. It's marked everywhere, and just travel it daily, moment by moment if you have to. There's no ticket checker, right? Maybe there's a frequent flyer club. You get more, the more you go, the better it gets. That's it. But keep going. And this, right? It does say love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, right? It does. How do we do that? How do we tell God that we love him? We come boldly to the throne of grace. That's it. No exploits, no performance, no big thing, but just trusting in his grace, taking the words he says and doing them, and trusting him and say, okay, you said, I'm coming, Lord. You said you opened the way. I'm going to annoy you. I'm going to be there a lot because I need a lot of it. And he says, that's what I want to hear. Keep coming. Be coming boldly to the throne of grace. It's the last thing he has to say. He that has a come, right? The Spirit and the bride say, come. If you thirst, come. If you don't have anything, come. Just come to Jesus and continue doing that. So we boldly come. This boldness to come to Jesus comes from knowing him. We know him. We've heard his words. We've trusted in him. And at some point we came to him. And we've continued to come to him. But what will happen as I come to Jesus? As I continue coming to him, I will become bold. Ephesians chapter 6, the great chapter, warfare, right? Conflict. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How can I be strong in the Lord? By knowing him. How do I know him? By coming to him. Be strengthened by him. That's what it means. Be strengthened in the Lord. How am I strengthened? I'm strengthened by him. And he said, come. As much as you can take. Just come to me. Come. And as we come to him, we are strengthened. And here we see we are given the armor of God. Graciously given the armor of God. Why? Verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. What happens when we wrestle against flesh and blood? We get bruised. We get broken fingers. We get bruised and battered. What happens when we wrestle against flesh and blood? We get distracted. We get discouraged. We get disappointed. We get bitter. We hang on to things. We look at people in a sense of, I defeated them, or I was defeated by them. It's not healthy either way. Either way, if I look at people as being above them or below them, either way, it's unhealthy. It's not flesh and blood. It's not. Don't be distracted by that. Don't get drawn into that fog. But we are wrestling against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's quite the challenger. It's quite the adversary. Therefore, knowing that we face that, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore. How? Having come to Jesus. Having understood the whole story. Having understood his authority. Having understood his power. Having understood where the devil is in relation to Jesus. I said this story before, but I met a guy at a phone store and he had a tattoo. He rolled up his sleeve. He said, check this baby out. And I said, wow, look at that. Like, I don't know. You know, I said, what about me makes you think I'm not a tattoo guy? I mean, whatever. So he said, check this out. And he said, and it was God and the devil reaching across and like shaking hands. And I said, oh, what does that mean? And he said, this is how the world works. It's a balance between good and evil. And God and the devil, they negotiate. And he says, sometimes God concedes things, sometimes the devil concedes things, and they maintain this balance. And I said, man, I'm so sorry that you have such a big lie tattooed on your body. It seems like it was expensive too, right? That's not the reality. The reality is that all things are under Christ's feet. And he has no challenge. He has no adversary. When I am coming to Jesus and I learn that, it changes the way I see things. Learn it. Learn it from him. Receive the armor that he has given. Put it on. Be comfortable in it. And on that road with the armor, and you will be emboldened. And you'll see the points and you'll say, no, this requires boldness. A year ago, I wouldn't have the spine to stand here right now, but because I have come to Jesus and learned who he is, I will stand and I will withstand. Meaning I will have to lean into it and it will be pushing against me and I will withstand it and I will not fall, but I will stand because I have come to Jesus and I have been strengthened by him and I know in him I can do all things. Isn't that a better way to see Philippians 4:13? You can do all things through Christ. Meaning you can withstand in an evil day. Meaning that you can have confidence in who God says you are. You can have confidence in the grace of God. And through that, you can do great exploits for him. That's a good way. It's more than like running a 5K. I love the inspiration. I'm not downing that. But the verse is bigger. The verse is so much bigger and it is empowering us as human beings to stand in a spiritual conflict, have boldness, have confidence, have something to say, have a message to deliver that heals people. Like the woman with the issue of blood or the woman in John chapter 4. I think we named her Patricia, Right? Like the woman in John chapter 4. There she's there. She's like, this woman, just leave me in the shadows. Just, I'll just kind of be on the edge of our town and just leave me alone. I just, I, you know, whatever. Live and let live. Whatever, right? She goes from that attitude to running into the city and saying, hey, everybody, come meet a man. Jesus did it. He healed me. He delivered me. He told me everything I ever did, and he didn't leave. He wasn't afraid. He didn't run away, but instead he spoke life to me. Come and see him. And that's what we were doing. That's what we have to do. 1 Peter 3:15. Right? Be ready. Be ready. Be ready to give an answer. Right? Let's read it. Last verse in closing. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for the a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Right? A defense or an answer to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is within you. Why do you have hope? Right? What are you hoping in? The world is hopeless. And you say, yeah, I'm hoping in something that is outside of this world. I'm hoping in something better. Let me tell you about it. The boldness to say the name of Jesus. That's a hurdle. It could be. You say, oh, I don't know. I don't have the boldness to tell someone about Jesus. What will they think of me? Have you ever thought that? I've thought that a lot. I still do. But when I come to Jesus, I walk away and I say, I don't care. All I care about is what he thinks of me. And someone says, what makes you different? I said, well, sit down. I can tell you a lot about him. It's one man. His name is Jesus. He is the reason for the hope that is within me. And we go on and on. So, but this boldness and this confidence comes from somewhere. It comes from coming to Jesus. So keep it up, right? Keep it up. Don't let the illusion or the mirage of obstacles, like trick you or dissuade you from traveling the road. Because Christ has prepared it, Christ maintains it, and he calls us to travel it. And he says, no, come running boldly. We say, I don't know, it looks a little squishy over there. He's like, come on, just run boldly. Run boldly. And there are people along the way that cheer us on, that help us, that encourage us, that challenge us, that kick us when we need it, right? That laugh with us, they cry with us. Like, this is the body of Christ. We are all on this road, and we are coming to Jesus, and we are saying, come on, come on. Hey, we're back over here. Right? Let's go. We're going to Jesus. And we are being empowered. We are being strengthened. And we have boldness. And we don't know what the days hold. We don't know what position we'll be in. But we do know who is in control. We do know who is leading us. We do know who is speaking to us. And we know how he loves us and how much grace he has to give us. So don't quit. Keep going. Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you for giving us this call. Thank you for giving us this encouragement to come to you, Lord. Help us get over ourselves. Help us get over our fear. Help us get over all of the obstacles and just come to you. We just want to forget about our problems, forget about our deficiencies and come to you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for giving us this confidence. In Jesus' name, amen.